Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
On the day of the schedule release, there's always a little bit of a challenge trying to basically categorize what we know for sure, what we think we know, what we might not know. That's
right.
It gets around and it's just sort of everybody starts to share it and talk about it like it's a given.
Right. But it might just be circumstantially stuck into the vacancy and you don't really know. It could be a placeholder for all you know for the, you know, the schedule that we get, you know, sent on social media.
Right. So let's bring in Sal here. And Sal, I just, you know, what is your state of mind right now about the schedule? I'm sure you've seen what we've seen really for a few hours. Mm-hmm. There's been one that I think probably is right, but maybe you would say different.
Yeah, let's just work off what we all have seen so far, right? And I think we're all working off the same ones so far. So if that is, okay, if that is what it is, what we've seen, the rumored schedules and nerding on NFL and places like that. So I have to write something for the website later, a reaction article. So I got to jump on it. I'm like, okay, let me look at this. I can start reacting and start putting it together. What do I like? What do I not like? I mean, there's, you can take it from a travel standpoint, fan standpoint, what's good, weather standpoint. Then you also have the competitive nature of it. First thing I look at is the competitive nature for the Buffalo Bills. I just did the math. After their week one game, guys, against the Ravens, their next six games would be against teams with a combined record of 35-67. No teams over 500, none made the playoffs. I mean, we're talking about big time opportunity for a fast start and a good start. To me, like, there's no excuse of anything worse than 5-2, and even then it shouldn't be. Like, 6-1 should be very much in the window, and 5-2 would be the minimal expectation. That's, and then you get to, then after that, you get to Kansas City, and then you have a couple other games like that. But that, to me, is a huge start. On top of thinking about having Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi suspended for the first six games, and then coming back after that.
Well, that's a good point. I had not thought about that. I knew that, you know, looking at this, what we think is the schedule, I could look at it and feel like, yeah, I like my chances to win, you know, be favored in all those games, except for the opener, if, you know, with the Baltimore, of course, coming in. But the suspensions lining up with the softest start of the schedule I could remember in a while, that maybe could be pretty beneficial.
Yeah, I think it sounds like that, at least in what it's looking like. It now, look, we all know how this goes. Every year, teams are different. You have New England in there. They could be a much different team, a much better team, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe the Jets are better. Who knows how this all goes down? But, you know, if you just kind of go at the what you're looking at for these teams and what they have been, I think the first, you know, the first seven games, 2-7, so those six really give the Bills some opportunity. From there, I mean, you still have some more opportunity, I think, for the Bills to, you know, have what you guys said earlier, like this road schedule is something that has not been maybe talked about enough that it's not super daunting, right? I mean, like, you're going on the road, A, you're not going in this huge traveling everywhere. It's all Eastern time zone games except for one that's in Houston. And then you have a lot of teams that, you know, the Bills should be favored in every one of those games.
Yeah. I said this earlier. Maybe you heard it. Like, I don't know what it says about how my brain works, but seeing the logos or all the teams, like, on the Bills website, like, side by side, I didn't really process it as a pretty easy road schedule. Seeing the game stacked up one after the other, road schedule's not that hard. Like, it took that for me to realize that they don't have a very challenging road schedule, at least sitting here today. Like you said, we'll see what it looks like September through December, but it doesn't look that daunting.
And then the other part about it is, if you look at the home teams and the ones we've talked about, right, the big four, we'll call them, the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Philadelphia Eagles, it's all spread out.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you get Baltimore early, and then you get the, you know, Chiefs late, and in between, and I think, Mike, did you say it's actually one a month, right?
Yeah, basically is what I said.
Almost.
Yeah. Almost that. Yeah, you've got a gap in between. It's Baltimore and then KC, and then a few weeks later Cincinnati, and a few weeks after that Philadelphia, and yeah, I mean, that feels pretty good.
That's what I think, really, this schedule is all about. You know, it's those four games. The order brings to light what Sal is saying about the poor records of most of those early teams. But again, like, there's that in the second half too. I think teams like Pittsburgh and Cleveland, who the Bills we think will play in late November, December, that they could be anything by then. You know, they're maybe on to rookie quarterbacks by then, and that could be good or bad.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm looking at some of these games and the time slots, too. And if it is the 425 for a lot of these games, which I guess that would be what we remember a couple months ago you asked me, Mike, what are the chances of any of those games being at 1 o'clock? It looks like none of them. None of them, right?
But only one at night. But only one at night.
Yeah, one at night on three at 425. And listen, that's three 425 home games, one 425 road game at Pittsburgh, according to what we're looking at here. The 425 Sunday game is actually the most watched window in the NFL. We talk about primetime a lot. Yes, the league wants to feature the Bills and Josh Allen on primetime. And they got the primetime treatment, right? They're getting how many, five primetime games here without being flexed that we know of. But the 425 p.m. window, I just did a little research and went back and looked at the most watched games from last year. I found a tweet from the NFL that had them listed. And I believe four out of the top five most watched games were 4:25 p.m. Sunday games. So that actually is the most watched window in the league.
The five primetime games, we believe, Sunday night, weeks 1 and 5, both at home, the Ravens and the Patriots. Interesting to have that game measure up to that status. It is week 3 at home on a Thursday against Miami, and week 12 at Houston, also on a Thursday. So they get two Thursday night prime games. No team gets more than two. And then one Monday night game at Atlanta in week 6. There's no Sunday night road game. There's no Monday night home game. There are two and maybe three, depending on the finale, 1 o'clock home kickoffs. And as you think about fans and talk to fans, I mean, this is always both things, the credibility that comes with the heavy primetime schedule, but also, you know, it's not super convenient for everybody to get home at 1:30, 2 in the morning, and then have to get up for work the next day. So what do you think the balance is when it comes to the fans and the load of night games?
I think it's interesting that once again this year, it's heavy early night games. Remember last year that was the case, right? It was all these night games early. I mean, you had like three in a row, I think it was at one point, but a lot of night games early. Same thing again this year. Week 1, week 3, week 5, week 6, kind of weird, right? All these like, night games early. And I don't know why. I don't know if there's a reason for the league to do that. At some point, I'll text Mike North and just say, like, hey, is there a reason? He's probably going to say no but, you know, we've seen before when the Jets had that one year where they were front-loaded, you know, and then the theory was because how long will Rodgers last, right? I don't think there's anything like that in play here for the Bills. But I would say this. Maybe, here's a theory, my theory. Maybe it's because the Bills division, they feel that as the season goes on, there's not as much to play for them, right? Yes, they're still playing for seeding, But they could kind of run away with the division, so to speak. So maybe you want to feature them early when they're still really in the thick of it, and there's these games that they, you know, you want to, they might make sure that they're, you know, playing for something even a little bit more. So that's part of it for me. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, try this theory on. If you leave the Bills out of primetime later, like you're saying here, beyond week 12, they're not there, then maybe they're a flex option. Yep. if it's warranted. Of course, obviously it has to be warranted if the league's going to move the schedule around. How likely is it that a 425 game gets moved? I feel like that's the networks want to sort of sit on those, and I'm not saying it never happens, but I feel like that's a pretty rock solid spot. Unless it's going badly and the network wants to move you out of there. But like, if you're having your regular season here, you're the Bills, I feel like I'd be surprised if any of the 425 games got moved.
I would.
Agreed. So let me tell everybody how it works here. So I know that people think networks can protect games before they come out. Like CBS says, well, you're not putting Kansas City anywhere but on CBS on Sunday. They can't do that. There's no such thing as that. That's been debunked. Networks can't protect games before the season starts. What they can do, however, is protect one game a week once the season starts from being flexed out of their spot. So 4:25 p.m. is the national window game for, you know, CBS or Fox. So if you see a game like Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati for the Bills that are 4:25 p.m., they're saying, CBS in this case would say, that's the game we're highlighting, we're featuring, we're putting nationally. So chances are, once flexing starts, they're going to protect those games, unless what you said is right, Bulldog, which is suddenly one of those teams just isn't that good, and there's another game they want to protect. And you'd have to have whatever's already in that, you know, Monday night, whatever, Sunday night time slot would have to be a game that the league says we want to move anyway. So you'd have to have a few things at play to happen there. You'd have to have the league want to move out a game that's already there, want to move that game in, and the network say, yeah, we will not protect that game, which already they've been highlighting and putting at 4:25, so they're probably protecting it.
Thursdays can be flexed now, too. That's been the case for a couple of years, but now it can be throughout the season with 3 weeks' notice. That we had one of those last year. Denver and the Chargers were moved in. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Philadelphia Week 17 is odd for such a marquee game. Of course, I know as well as you guys, I mean, there's always lots of considerations, and there's all kinds of ways it can fall. But that's one I thought might have fit in earlier. That's a lot of the Bills' schedule. That's a lot of the Eagles' schedule. I mean, the Eagles play the Chiefs in the NFC West. They play, their own division is interesting, other first-place teams. But the game with the Bills being post-Christmas is interesting to me, and not great, not ideal.
So what's interesting about that game, too, is we have seen I've seen a couple different schedules that are exactly the same, but with one difference. One has this game as listed as Sunday, December 28th at 4:25 p.m. One has it listed as Saturday, December 27th at 4 o'clock p.m., I think it is. If it is Sunday at 4:25, the way I read the Peacock release, it would not be eligible to be that Peacock game on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes out tonight that that's a Saturday, the 27th game, it would be eligible to be moved to the Peacock game on Sunday night. And that would give them 6 primetime games if that were to actually happen. Went back 2 years ago. The Bills were in 6 primetime games scheduled. They got flexed to a 7th. You are allowed that. You're allowed 7 when it's all said and done if you get flexed. So there'd be no problem there. And Philly would be in the same case. They'd be eligible for that. I'm going to work right now off the assumption that it is the Sunday, December 28th game at 4:25 because, hey, that's Christmas weekend. A lot of people still home. National window, big windows, I just said. They're going to want Philadelphia against Buffalo. But I agree also that it is a weird kind of spot for it. I thought it would be earlier in the season. But sure, I mean, these two teams could still be playing for one seeds in their conference.
Two teams have the most standalone games, we think. 8. The Chiefs and the Commanders. The Philadelphia season, by the schedules we're working off of, ends Washington, Buffalo, Washington. That's interesting that those teams' NFC Championship rematch, not until late December. We've seen that with the Bills and the Patriots before, 2 games in the last 3 weeks. By week 7, Sal, how does that sit with you, if this is right?
I like middle of the season by weeks. Probably maybe a little early for my taste, and I think a little early for probably what the Bills like. If you remember a couple of years ago, they went to London, and they had a choice if they wanted their bye week right after that, and they said no, because they preferred to have their bye week later. If they didn't take it there, they knew it would be later in the season. It was like very early, so they'd elected to go later. And for the last few years, the Bills have had a late bye week. I think, you know, middle of the season is good, late is good. It really kind of could depend, too. I mean, what is your injury situation, obviously, at the time? So all these things, this could be a moving target. I like the fact that it's a bye week, and then, you know, you go to Carolina, and then you have Kansas City, and it looks like, from what it's being reported, Kansas City is not coming off their bye week before they come to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They'll actually be playing on a short week, playing the Commanders on a Monday night, and then coming to Buffalo. So those are the things that I look at there. But I would prefer, and I think the Bills would prefer, from a competitive standpoint, to have a little bit later, but I don't think week 7 is terrible.
How do you feel about 4 of the first 5 at home, and then 4 out of 5 in the back half? Obviously, you're going to have to pay for that at some point. 4 out of 5 on the road, starting with that Thursday nighter, we think, in Houston.
I don't mind the early home games. I've always liked early home games, you know, for the Buffalo Bills. What I don't love, though, is I love afternoon home games in Orchard Park on a Sunday in September and early October. I just think it looks great on TV. I just think, you know, being out in the sunshine that time of year versus, you know, later on when you're playing games. So, and obviously, guys, they have one 1 p.m. home game through the first, 2 months of the year.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In fact, until November 9th. One, that's it, against the New Orleans Saints, September 28th. So, you know, I would like it to be, I like the home games early in the season, that's fine, because once you get later in the season, you're most likely going to be on the road. However, this schedule does not lend to that, because late in the season, you're playing not only two home games. It is just weird. Matt Bove and I, we talked about how, well, if the Bills are going to open up, then they're not going to play, you know, a lot of games at the very end on the road. If they're going to open up at home, Matt's theory has been, and I've kind of agreed with it, that it would be very tough to open at home and then close with a couple games on the road, or open with two and close with a couple games at home. They're doing that this year. They have one game at home to start, two games at home
to close
at the end of the season, which puts in all of those away games. Now, I would say this. From a personal standpoint, as a guy on the sidelines, I would like more warmer weather games a little bit later. Look at what this is.
Right.
You know, when you get past Houston, November 20th,
it's
at Pittsburgh, in Buffalo, at New England, at Cleveland, in Buffalo, and in Buffalo.
Ski goggles and gloves, buddy.
Right.
Is it El Nino this year? I don't think it is.
So I think that a lot of cold weather games, and by the way, 425 games too in a lot of that, right? And then we don't know what's going to happen with that Jets game, where that will be, you know, at the end, probably a Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Oh.
So, yeah, sorry. I botched what I was saying earlier, but I think it's weird to have a game at home to start and two games at home to end.
Get ready, buddy, for 34 with 20 to 30 mile an hour winds and gusts up to 40 and mixed precipitation.
Mixed precipitation, there it is.
Get ready for
grapple,
that.
Some who knows what.
How dare anybody rush anybody else into that here on May 14th? Very rude.
Now to be fair, though, guys, the Bills, I mean, really, let's see, Miami, Atlanta, Carolina, and Houston, I guess, are the best warm weather cities they play in this year, right? The warmest weather cities. I mean, so what's the opportunity to really have a lot of them towards the end anyway? Only have four of them. It's not like they're going out west a lot this year. They're not. Yep. We know that. So, you know, in Houston, you're getting in November, which is fine. In Miami, you're getting in November. So I'll take that part of it. But this year just didn't lend itself anyway to a schedule that you'd have a lot of those warmer weather games because you only really have four of those types of cities.
It's only two domes, Atlanta and Houston. Yeah. Like, remember, didn't Goff last year play like 14 dome games for Detroit?
Oh, yeah. That's
it funny. Was some disproportionate number.
The Bills have two this year. How about New England here, week five, making the Sunday night cut?
Interesting, right? I have not seen. I have to take a look at what New England's schedule is. Have you seen it? Let me see if anybody has it. What do they have for prime times?
Here, we don't have their week three game yet. At Buffalo week five, Thursday night at the Jets, versus the Jets rather, week 11. Monday night versus the Giants week 13. Three. So far, some of their games are not filled in yet.
Interesting. So they give them two games against the biggest market in the league and the other one against the MVP of the league. So what this tells me is we want to get the Patriots on, but we got to pair them with somebody, which is either a bigger market or a team like Buffalo with Josh Allen, right? This is about the Bills. It's not about the Patriots because obviously they're the anchor. As Mike North has said, the Bills can be the anchor for a lot of these games. That's the case. So it's probably New England still. It's Boston. It's a big market. They got some juice here with a younger quarterback. We don't really want to give them the full treatment, but we got to put them on a little bit. Let's pair them with a big market in New York, and let's pair them with the league MVP.
Miami has five plus a game in Spain. Mm-hmm. Week three here, week four home to the Jets, week nine Thursday night home to Baltimore, week 15 Monday night at Pittsburgh, week 16 home Sunday night to Cincinnati. Miami, five times.
Flex the crap out of them.
Oh.
They are going to be in flames by the time they get to that Pittsburgh game.
Wow.
Flames. Toxic flames.
Flames coming out of her face.
Look at that Dolphins schedule. What do they got? Oh, you know what? You guys know the Dolphins, like their whole thing with the cold weather people talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get to December. They go to the Jets. They go to Pittsburgh on Monday night. And then they have two home games. And then they go to New England. So three of their last five in December and January are in cold weather cities.
Well, I wish their interim coach good luck in those games.
Oh, bam. Whoa, all right. Well, the distinctions between what we think we know, what we might not know, all that. I'm using Nerding on NFL, NFL Nerd on Twitter, and his chart, which is really useful. It's attractive, and the flow of information today has been a dream. I mean, they're basically getting a couple games every 5 minutes or so, and his chart is at the point where it's almost three quarters of the entire schedule is filled in. It's almost like clockwork.
It's amazing.
Right? You know, just leading right up to the official reveal later tonight. Which, you know
what's become better than the official reveal?
Yeah,
tonight?
I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, the team dropping their videos
Let's
of their
go
reveals.
Chargers.
Like that's been the
Chargers.
You can spend more time watching that since you know the schedule.
Right. I can't that's what I will be looking for at like eight
yes.
8 o'clock 8 o'clock and 20 seconds. I'll be like, okay, where's the stuff? Let's go.
The Chargers have done like was it Pokemon or what would the Chargers do? I wasn't as hip to it as I wanted to be. The Titans is the all-timer. The Titans interviewing fans on Broadway in Nashville.
That was really great,
identifying
too.
Logos.
Right.
And
They did go back to that last year, but it wasn't the same.
2 years ago was fantastic. I feel like the Chargers especially have been so up high. Like I don't know. Like I wonder what kind of stress that department feels they're under as they're getting ready to launch their thing tonight, because they have been like winning Academy Awards with the stuff they've done. And that's a hard target to hit consistently.
They've towed the line too. Like they've done some interesting stuff, right? Like
their opponents.
Someone pointed out, right? What'd you say?
They did a thread, all of our opponents as Pop-Tarts last year, or for this year, maybe.
I think, didn't they, somebody pointed this out to me, that they had Harrison Butker in a kitchen. You know what I mean?
That was last year.
They did that.
Yes.
They had someone, somebody got arrested, and they had like something about, there was a jail, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, they've towed the line.
They've gone right up to the edge of like, should you really be saying that about someone else that you're a partner with in the league kind of stuff?
Right.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's edgy, and I love that. You know, the danger is you're going to go too far, right? I'm sure some people were offended by the things that you've just mentioned. I think most normal people were laughing their asses off at it. But we'll see. Like that's the danger. And when you're on that line, like if you go over, it's, you know, you could be in really tough.
I love the Chargers, yeah, for sure. The Pop-Tarts one.
Yes, that was that was
earlier today for this year, but the games are not in order. Maybe they are. Oh. I think they're alphabetical order. Mm. For the Giants, yeah. It's a picture of Tommy DeVito, and it's lasagna Pop-Tarts. They're pretty good.
They've done that. I think they did that a couple years ago with their whole schedule.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
They have done 9 that before.
9 p.m. tonight, so everybody knows. Matt Bove and I are going live on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. All right. So doing a special live edition so people can come to the chat and they can talk with us just like you're doing now with your bullpen, right, on YouTube. Same thing, but we're going to do that. And if you want to be in the chat, you got to go to my YouTube page, Sal Sports. You can watch the show on my Twitter feed, but you can't comment in the chat on the Twitter side of things. So just so everybody knows, that'll be at 9 p.m. tonight.
All right, good deal, man. We'll look forward to it.
Thank you, Sal.
Thanks, buddy.
There's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Baltimore week one, the Jets to close it. A lot of interesting matchups in between. What do you like or not like? 803-0550. Kansas City week 9, the Eagles so late. Was hoping for a little bit more of a showcase with that game, but it's not that it can't be one. Just because it's in week 17. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back after sports. This is WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.